whirling black letters on white rectangles, spin around a blue oval shape. They stick to the oval and spell Myriad Pictures. The dancing white silhouette of a female figure in a top hat and carrying a cane is projected on the black background of a spinning zoetrope. White letters curl around the cylinder. American Zoetrope Pictures. Spears of metallic silver flash against a black backdrop and form the logo UA, United Artists, an MGM company. Jeepers Creepers 2. Every 23rd spring, for 23 days, it gets to eat. Under a clear blue sky, tall stalks of corn grow in a sun-baked field with tree-covered hills in the background. Electric pylons stand on the crest of the hill. A flock of birds erupts in a flurry of wings from the middle of the cornfield and fly off. Day 22. A blonde-haired boy, Billy, heaves a black scarecrow onto the arms of a wooden cross in the middle of the field. He ties it to the post.
Billy? You get number three up now.
Don't come in to eat before you do.
In the farmyard, Billy's father, Taggart, jumps down from the post-punching machine.
You check the other two.
Make sure they're wired up good. I don't want them blown over again the first big wind.
Billy glances at two scarecrows on crosses adjacent to him. Crows sit on the shoulders of one.
Look good they're doing.
Taggart slots a wooden pole into the post-punching machine at the back of his tractor. He slides a metal cylinder over the pole, climbs onto the tractor and pulls a red lever. The machine jams in a cloud of dust. He hits the machine with his cap.
Billy? You been messing with the post-puncher?
No!
I told you what would happen if you screw around with this thing.
I said I didn't.
Billy fixes a scarecrow to the cross, jumps down, and weaves through the corn to the next scarecrow.
What I'm going down again?
Big
win my ass. You're the only big win out here.
Jackie?
Taggart strides to the barn.
You've been messing with the damn post puncher again, huh?
No.
Jackie stops working on the engine of a truck.
Billy, you little asshole! Why don't you rat yourself out for a change?
What did I do?
You little butt sniff! I ought to come out there and kick your ass!
You wish!
On his back, Jackie, a dark-haired young man, slides under the car. A large mongrel dog lies beside him. The dog stands up, walks towards the field, and stares at the corn.
Hey, go on, Mac. Don't bite him in the ass for me, Mackie boy.
As Billy wires the second scarecrow to its cross, he spots the middle scarecrow glancing sideways at him. It then stares straight ahead. The crows sitting on the scarecrow's arms fly away. Billy, wearing a white vest, an open blue check shirt, and a pair of blue jeans, stares apprehensively at the middle scarecrow as he walks towards it. The figure is dressed in black rags which flutter in the slight breeze. Its dark face is obscured by a black, wide-brimmed hat. Billy weaves his way through the corn and stands in front of it. The sun shines directly behind the dark and sinister form as Billy peers at it.
Would you shut up?
From underneath the car, Jackie looks at the dog, which cowers. Billy stares at the jet black silhouette. Its ragged clothes flap in the wind. The scarecrow's feet are razor sharp claws. Open mouthed, he slowly steps backwards, The creeper's claws twitch. Wide-eyed with terror, Billy turns and runs. He sprints through the tall corn stalks which rise above his head. The creeper leaps from the cross high into the air. With his shirt tails flapping as he runs towards the barn, Billy glances over his shoulder.
Jackie!
He stumbles.
Jackie!
High above Billy's head, the shadow of a winged figure crisscrosses the cornfield.
Jackie!
In a black blur, the creeper pins Billy to the ground. Jackie slides out from under the car and stands up. Taggart dashes from the barn with a shotgun in his hand. They run across a yard to the edge of the field. The crop gently rustles in the breeze. Stalks of corn suddenly erupt in the air. Taggart and Jackie sprint into the field.
Where are you?
Taggart and Jackie chase the creeper as it drags Billy by the hair.
Billy! Billy!
Help me!
Billy! Billy! Billy!
The creeper rises into the air with Billy in its claws. With wings flapping powerfully, it disappears over the hills towards the setting sun. Distraught, Taggart and Jackie look in disbelief towards the horizon. Taggart steps forward and, wide-eyed, stares intensely into the distance. A yellow Bannon County school bus travels along a country road flanked by cornfields. Inside, teenage cheerleaders sit glum-faced at the front while college boys sit behind them, chanting and gesturing. One boy, Scott, sits alone at the back.
Down the court, we'll clean your clock. Better not mess with a fighting cock. Bantam, bantams, go
Bantam! The team unfurls a banner which runs the length of the bus windows as a pickup truck with a giant cockroach on its roof overtakes. The truck's driver waves to the boys as they stick their arms out of the windows and gesticulate. The sun shines brightly and the sky is blue. Day 23. A white girl, Rhonda, and a black girl, Chelsea, sit together at the front of the bus. Another white girl, Minxie, joins them.
How long can they keep this up? Forever. They have a fight song with the word cock in it.
Why aren't you sitting with your honey?
They turn and look at Scott at the back.
Someone should tell him he just won the state championship. I have a feeling he didn't get to play enough. Well, should you be sitting with him? After a game, he says he needs to be with the guys.
You kill his post-game buzz up, basically.
If they lose, it's a totally different thing. Can't pry him off me.
The bus swerves from side to side. The teenagers grab the backrests of the seats in front. The bus stops. Coach Charlie looks at Coach Dwayne, who shakes his head.
Shit.
Betty, the bus driver, opens the doors.
Okay, everybody sit down. Sit tight.
Betty walks towards the rear passenger side wheel.
Son of a bitch.
The two coaches and Betty bend down to look at the mangled heavy-duty tire. Betty pulls back a ripped flap. Inside it, a sharp curved spike protrudes from the rubber. Charlie, the large black bald coach, stares at it.
What in the hell would you call that?
Betty grabs a spike and pulls.
out!
She puts her hands to her mouth.
I don't know, but whatever it is, it's sharp as a son of a bitch!
Charlie wrenches the object free. They stare at a star-shaped weapon with four curved spikes embedded in a hard black substance.
What in the hell are we looking at?
Sharp enough to flatten a tire, whatever it is.
You know how thick that rubber is? You have to be shot into it like a bullet.
Jesus Christ, the damn thing has got teeth in it!
They can't just whip the jack out and pump this mother up?
Driver can't change a flat on a bus. They need a mechanic.
So, do you see any mechanics around here?
You suck so bad today, DeAndre, they're probably saying you gotta change the flat.
DeAndre, a black boy, gives Scott the finger. Izzy turns up the radio.
She'll give us the latest update on a continuing story we call The Horror in Poho County.
Hey, Sheila? Poho update!
Well, Peter, the fire which gutted an old church south of Pertwilla 4 days ago continues to offer up a gruesome bounty. County sheriffs excavating the charred ruins say the body count is now up well past 300. County coroners say the bodies were found stitched to each other, covering the basement's walls and ceiling. One on-the-scene witness called it a human tapestry of torture and sadism and a sight he will never forget.
Sheila, the details keep getting stranger and stranger every day this week, it seems. Any new information?
Some of the corpses they have found had false teeth made out of wood. That means some of the bodies they're finding down there are over 200 years old. But, Peter, it's the condition of the cadavers that's the strangest fact of all. The county coroner's office reported yesterday that they have yet to find any one complete body.
Leave that, man?
Each one missing either an external limb or an internal organ. What connection...
Betty picks up the handset.
This is 226 out on East 9. We are down and disabled. Home base, do you read me?
You get a good look at the points on this thing? It's either ivory or some kind of bone.
Throw that damn thing away before you need a tetanus shot.
Charlie examines the weapon. A human tooth is embedded in the underside of the black substance. In Taggart's cornfield, Jackie carries a shotgun and examines the trampled corn stalks. Mac, the dog, sniffs at the mangled crop. Jackie walks towards Mac, who is snuffling in the undergrowth. The sun beats down. Jackie's head blocks out the sunlight as he bends over to look at the ground.
Drop something.
Taggart, his face obscured in darkness, sits impassively.
Pop?
He remains motionless, staring straight ahead.
It was out in the corn, Papa. Here, look at it.
Slowly, he leans forward in his chair, takes the object from his son, and holds it in the palm of his hand. It's a large dagger. The handle has engravings of anguished human figures and wavy lines carved into it. A snake motif flows from the shaft onto the lower half of a long, black blade, which is spear-shaped. With wrinkles etched into his weather-beaten face, Taggart glances at his son and stares at the dagger. The dagger flies out of Taggart's hand, shoots across the room and pins an old brown lampshade to the opposite wall. Taggart stares open-mouthed. He and Jackie approach the dagger, crouch down, and examine it. They look at each other and stare at the engraving on the underside of the shaft, which has two figures running across a cornfield with the sun's rays radiating from a central circle. Six of the college boys lie sunbathing on the bus roof, Betty on the handset.
Disabled. Come back.
Slow down, Speedy.
Hey, what about Kimball, man?
Say again. This is 226. Anyone read me? We are down and disabled out on East 9. Come back.
She signals helplessly to Charlie, who waves his mobile at Duane and shakes his head.
We gotta be in some kind of sunspot or something. There's no signal getting out.
Yeah, it's going to be dark in about an hour.
Well, we still got 5 tires on the ground, which means we can probably limp home if we keep the going slow.
4 boys come out of the bus.
Say again, this is 226. Anyone read me?
All of you at the same time? Lady cheerleaders.
The 3 girls turn around.
That's not smoke I smell, is it?
They hold their breath.
Minxie. There's not a girl in the world these days stupid enough to kill themselves by sucking on cancer sticks. Am I right?
They shake their heads. Charlie's shoulders droop and he turns away.
Back on the bus, ladies.
The girls exhale and waft away the smoke with their hands. Betty steps from behind a tree, smoking. Izzy, Jake, and Andy urinate in a field.
You saw me, right? Run that fast break, huh? You see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Anybody gonna read about it? Why you give old Dante back there so much ink, huh? I'm serious. People are starting to think that you're sweet on him.
Really? I heard that was you.
Hey, it's okay if you are, man. I mean, live and let love, right?
Why don't you piss on somebody else's shoes, Jake?
Hey, shouldn't you be folding towels somewhere, sniffing jockstraps?
Oh, you think you can manage the team, super genius?
Was I even talking to you, jockstrap boy?
Hey, eat shit, Jake! God.
So this is all because what? I don't write enough about you?
You know what the story is on your scars there, right?
No, tell me.
Got into a fight when you snuck into a bar.
So?
A gay bar, bro.
Izzy shakes his head.
You do know what they call you, don't you, Izzy?
That's my name. Or isn't he?
The other boys urinate in a row.
Hey, let's not make this a social event out there, everybody. Back on the bus, gentlemen. We're moving.
Hey, BK, does that come in a man size?
Yeah, BK. That means you too, Kimball. Let's go.
Kimball is left urinating on his own. A shadow flits across his face. He jumps, looks upwards, and tries to block out the sun with his free hand. He finishes urinating and shakes dry. A shadow passes over him, and a black wing flaps overhead. He looks upwards, and with apprehensive eyes, starts to walk backwards towards the bus. He turns and ambles forward. Crows erupt in the air in front of him. He falls over, stands up, and throws dust at them.
Good move, BK! Nice, man!
Jimmy Hendrick, man!
Kimball! Stop clowning around and get your ass back on the bus!
Kimball jogs towards the bus.
Off the top, gentlemen. Assholes and elbows. Let's go!
Mac the dog walks around the side of a tractor in the barnyard, which is littered with pipes, cylindrical tubes, wires, and discarded tires. On the back of a pickup truck, Jackie, wearing a welder's protective helmet, welds a metal bracket to an iron frame. He lifts up the helmet and blows on the hot metal. Sparks fly out of the open barn door. Inside, Taggart, wearing safety goggles, shapes a large drill with a metal cutter. He lifts up his goggles, looks at the drill, touches its smouldering tip with his safety gloves, and plunges it into a smoking furnace. He extracts from the furnace a long, sharp piece of metal, places it on an anvil, and beats it viciously with a hammer. Sparks fly off the metal. Plunges the sharp blade into a bucket of water. Through rising steam, he examines its sharp point and thrusts it back into the bucket. The dagger with the cornfield engraving sticks in the side of a wooden beam. The sunlight illuminates it. Taggart's gloved hand wrenches the dagger from the beam. The bus slowly trundles along the road at night. A lopsided blue signpost reads East 9. Scott and Rhonda sit together on the bus. Moonlight illuminates their faces.
You know, you could talk about it. Might help a little bit.
What did I play today?
12 minutes?
Well, it was a great 12 minutes.
Hannah's got it in for me. Him and his little token white boy Barnes. I don't know. Maybe I got the wrong skin color to get equal play on this team.
I know you don't mean that. Maybe they just want to make sure everyone got a chance to play the championship.
Everyone's not the reason why we made it to the championship. Half the losers on this bus had nothing to do with us making it to state. I did. What the fuck are you looking at?
Scott glowers at DeAndre, who sits further up the bus. He turns his face away and closes his eyes. Minxie, an attractive blonde girl, sits asleep, her head leaning against the window. Light gradually builds on her face. She opens her eyes and looks out of the window. Searing light merges into daylight. Minxie, sitting alone, stares at the cornfields which line the road. A teenage boy, wearing dirty blue jeans and a ripped yellow sleeveless t-shirt with the word Bannon on it, stands by the side of the road. He stares at Minxie and points into the cornfield. The bus passes him, and he continues to stare at Minxie, who watches the receding figure and then stares ahead. The boy reappears further up the road, still pointing into the cornfield. He shouts silently at Minxie and frantically waves at her to go back. The rip in his t-shirt reveals a black tattoo around his belly button in the shape of a black rose. The boy turns into Billy, whose blonde hair and face are streaked with blood. He points towards the middle of the cornfield. He transforms into the black-haired boy who follows the bus shouting and pointing. He turns back into a frantically waving Billy. Minxie stares out of the window and sees the black hat and shoulders of the creeper as it sprints through the cornfield. Minxie stares in horror, with tears in her eyes, as the creeper veers towards the bus and closes in on the vehicle. It slows down, and with the hat and the shadows obscuring its face, arches its body backwards and launches a star-shaped weapon at the bus. The four-pronged projectile whizzes through the corn and smashes into the back wheel, which explodes in a flash of light. The bus swerves violently from side to side as sparks fly from the metal wheel rim. Betty struggles to control the steering wheel as the passengers rock backwards and forwards and from side to side. The bus wobbles along the road, slows down, and stops. Moonlight shines on the tarmac. Minxie turns to look at Scott and his girlfriend.
Oh, don't tell me.
We blew the other one.
Oh.
Back down, everybody. Sit tight.
Shit. We gotta break out the flares and get these kids off the bus.
Hey! You wanna sit in here and hope somebody doesn't come along plowing into us doing 90, huh?
All right. Dwayne, you clear the bus, I'll set the flares. What is that, a flare gun? Plan on being lost at sea in this thing?
You making fun of my lockbox? Because everything in this thing has saved my sweet ass at least once.
A station wagon approaches.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Charlie runs from the bus and waves his arms.
All right, bring your coats and stay in a group.
The teenagers stand up. Minxie still sits and looks out the window.
This is Betty Borman out on 226. We're broke down on East 9, middle of Kissel County. Anyone read me?
Let me help you push it off the road before I go.
I don't think we can move it. It's on a bare rim in the back. If you'd let the highway patrol know, we'd appreciate it.
Sure.
The white station wagon with its driver and passenger proceeds along the road. Its bumper sticker reads, "I'm not a complete idiot. Some parts missing." Charlie lights a flare. Betty examines a burst tire.
Come on, let's go. Off the road.
The group descend from the bus and cross the road.
Come on, guys. Everyone on the shoulder. Everyone stays in a group. This side of the fence.
With a torch in one hand, Betty pulls a star weapon from the tire in disbelief. She meets Dwayne in the middle of the road.
Everyone stays back and off the road! Now!
She hands Dwayne the star weapon.
Stuck in the side of the tire again.
They examine the star. A small indentation is in the center.
Oh, God. Don't tell me that's a belly button in the middle of that thing.
Minxie steps towards them.
Minxie, stay off the road.
That's everybody off the road.
Get everyone back on the bus.
You just said they should.
I know what I just said. There's something going on out here, and I don't like it.
As Charlie lays flares on the ground, black wings envelop him, and he shoots into the dark sky. A burning flare drops from the sky and bounces on the ground. The kids stare in disbelief, and DeAndre steps onto the road. Minxie stands with her arms folded as the kids shuffle towards the flare. The boys wear yellow and white football jackets. DeAndre peers up the road.
Coach? What the...
Scott steps between Izzy and DeAndre.
Where the hell's the coach?
Charlie?
Betty, shining the torch in front of her, walks towards the flares. She looks into the sky.
Charlie!
She lowers the torch, turns, and walks back towards Dwayne and the kids. She hands Dwayne the torch.
Get everyone back inside and close the doors.
Okay, champions, getting back on the Betty Boop. Bucky, get on the toy, see if you can raise anyone. I'm talking to you, Scotty.
What the hell happened to the coach?
Get everyone back on board and close those doors.
Scott stares at him.
Do it, Scotty.
Scott nods and steps towards the other kids.
All right. You heard him. Assholes and elbows. Everybody back on the bus.
Dwayne paces along the road.
Charlie! Charlie!
Betty glances at Dwayne as he walks towards the flares.
Hurry up! On the bus, now! Now, now!
Bus number 226 broke down.
Charlie!
We have an emergency situation out here.
Does anybody read me?
Andy closes the bus door.
This is bus number 226. We are broke down on East 9.
Betty places flares on the road in front of the bus. She looks around her and lights another flare. The creeper plucks Betty from the road and with a swift beat of wings carries her skyward. Open-mouthed, Dwayne looks upwards in terror. Inside the bus, Andy, Izzy and Jake stare out of the window.
Jake.
Dwayne bangs on the bus door.
What happened? What'd you see? What'd you see?
Come on! Did you see something or not?
She flew away.
The kids look at each other in disbelief.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
What I just said?
People don't fly the fuck away!
Sit down, Scott.
What the hell's going on out there?
I said sit the fuck down and shut up, goddammit! Now!
Jake and Scott stare at Dwayne.
You too, Jake. Everybody.
All the kids except Scott move to sit down. Dwayne gets out of the bus and steps onto the road. Scott stands on the bus steps. Dwayne turns to him.
Go sit down, Scott. You got a problem with me?
No, you got one with me.
Do I what?
You heard me.
We don't have time for bullshit, Scotty. Go sit down.
A pair of clawed feet embed themselves in Dwayne's shoulders and try to lift him upwards. He holds onto the handrail as Scott and the other kids jump back in fright. The creeper's claws haul violently at Dwayne. He loses his grip and desperately clutches the top of the doorframe. Scott grabs Dwayne's legs. The creeper thrusts upwards. Dwayne's legs slip from Scott's grip and he disappears skywards.
Get the fucking door! Get the fucking door!
Scott, Izzy and DeAndre scramble frantically to close the bus door as Andy shakes and quivers in the driver's seat. Scott turns round to look at the kids who all stare at him. Streaks of blood run down his face. Open mouth, Dante, a dark-haired white boy, points to the blood. Scott touches his face as the others rush to the windows to close them. Distraught, Scott smears the blood over his face and into his hair. DeAndre and Scott stare at each other.
What was it? Scotty, what the fuck was it? Scotty, come on!
Scotty, we just want
to... I don't know what it was, all right?
Scott marches to the back of the bus and looks out the emergency door window. The others follow, apart from Minxie, who stands alone towards the front of the bus.
Had wings. Big fucking wings.
They stare apprehensively out the back window, looking out into the night sky. The bus's orange hazard warning lights flash in the darkness. Taggart sits in the gloom of his living room, staring at a radio. The light on the tuner flickers on and off, intermittently illuminating his face. He turns the tuning dial.
All units. Anybody else getting some weird stuff out Kissel County way? I just got two calls 10 miles apart, both recording abductions.
All units, be informed. This should be strictly 1036 information.
Is someone burning a marijuana field out there tonight? Because these two stories are way, way out.
Kissel County!
Me, this is Poe-related. Repeat, Poe-related. You all know what I'm talking about.
On the bus.
This is Andy Buck. Can anybody hear me?
Nobody's phone works. Nobody's fucking phone works.
We are stuck in a broken-down school bus out on East 9, and we are in serious trouble. Do you read me?
Andy, wearing glasses, sits in the driver's seat.
Come on, is anybody even out there? This is Andy Buck. We're stuck in a broken-down school bus out on East 9.
Javelins?
Izzy unwraps javelins.
We've got spears on this bus?
Sticks. You want to wait around so you can poke at that thing with sticks?
That thing shows up here again, and I'd rather have a sharp stick in my hand than nothing at all.
Hey, guys. Betty's flag gun. A bunch of flags for it, too.
Who says we wait around? I'm serious.
Scotty, you're not talking about getting off this bus.
He grabs Rhonda and points out the window.
You see that?
A sheep pen.
That means that there's a farm down at the end of this road somewhere, and that's as far as anybody'd have to get to.
Jake peers out the window.
With that thing out there? Scotty, with that thing out there? Scotty!
That thing hasn't been back here in almost an hour.
And that doesn't mean that it's not still up there somewhere.
And that doesn't mean that it is.
Hey, this isn't about who can run the fastest, okay?
Or being a pussy.
What is your problem?
You tell me, is he or isn't he?
Hey, check yourselves, both of you.
Ooh, do I make you nervous? Thinking you're gonna come on to me, and every other swinging dick on this bus makes me nervous.
Yeah, it makes you fucking stupid, too.
Scott grabs Izzy by the throat.
Stop it!
Scotty, come on.
DeAndre grabs Scott.
You get that hand off of me, we're gonna have one more missing person out here.
There's nothing about any of us on this bus that's more important than sticking together.
It's the only way we're gonna get through this. You wanna play cock of the walk now, huh? Now's not the time for this shit, Scotty. Big K, sit.
I'm serious.
Wanna play cock of the walk, bro?
They stand face to face, glowering at each other.
Why do I think you want to call me something else? You want to call me something else, Scotty? Because I don't think you get it. I can see you thinking it, whether you say it or not.
Just stop it right now. Both of you, stop it.
Minxie looks out the front window.
You guys all worked together today to win a ball game. Now that something really serious happens, you can't even be civil to each other.
You tell him, not me. Whatever your trip is, we ain't got time for this shit. We should all be looking for ways we can defend ourselves until help gets here.
Minxie walks backwards up the aisle and bumps into Scott. He looks to the front of the bus, crouches down, and moves forward. The others follow. They creep to the front and look out of the door. The creeper peers in, smiling. The kids retreat behind the bus seats and cower on the floor. They raise their heads and peer out of the window. The creeper springs onto the side of the bus. His body lengthwise sticks to the window as he leers at the kids, grinning. Jake lies directly underneath the creeper's window, terrified. Rhonda and Scott stare at the creeper from across the aisle. Its black, slimy, wet nostrils expand and contract. The mad whites of its eyes stare down at Jake, cowering beneath him. The creeper climbs slowly onto the roof of the bus. Scott grabs Andy.
Got to move this piece of shit.
On what, the rim?
Can you drive this thing or not?
We wouldn't get 2 feet, man. What do you want me to do?
The creeper's face appears upside down at the emergency door window. The kids rush in a frightened huddle to the front of the bus. They crouch down and stare at the creature, its wide-brimmed hat perched on its shiny black head.
The hell does it want?
The creeper stares at one of the boys.
The fuck? Is it looking at me?
Jake shines a torch on its face. It winks, rolls its head back, and grins.
Whatever it is a smell freak.
The creeper stares into the bus. Deep scars are etched into its oily, ebony face. It looks directly at Scott, who gapes in terror. The creeper smiles and reveals a set of long, spiky, white teeth.
Get that light off.
Jake switches off the light. The creeper grins, looks beyond Scott, past Minxie, and leers at Andy, who stands transfixed in terror. It waggles its bony finger, and Andy sits down. Kimbo stands in the aisle. The creature flicks its head, and Kimbo moves to the side to reveal DeAndre standing behind him. The boy looks at the creeper in terror as it stares at him with its cold eyes. The creature tips its head back, rolls its eyeballs and shudders. It opens its mouth and with its long tongue licks the length of the window, its hot breath misting the glass. DeAndre shakes his head. The creeper smiles and places its arms on either side of the bus. It shakes the bus violently. Dante points the flare gun at it.
Hey, don't shoot that thing in here, man.
It's right, it'll fill this place up like a smoke bomb.
The creeper shakes the bus and a bolt falls off the door.
Did that just come off the door?
Bucky, get on those front doors and get ready to open them.
What, you think we're gonna run outside?
If it fucking comes inside.
The creeper jumps onto the roof and strides towards the front of the bus. Dante points a flare gun at the ceiling. The kids turn and look to the front of the bus. Rhonda leans on a javelin. Minxie stares at her with glazed eyes.
Minxie? Minxie?
Minxie faints. Scott catches her. He lays her down on the floor. Rhonda, Andy, and Scott stand over her.
Minxie. Minxie. Minxie.
Minxie opens her eyes. They are white and sightless.
Minxie.
Minxie shakes and convulses. A flash of light. With clear blue sky overhead, Minxie, with her eyes now normal, stands in the middle of Taggart's barnyard. Behind her, Jackie walks slowly, in reverse, while Billy and Mac run backwards. She stares at the three scarecrows in the cornfield. And walks towards them. A crow perches on the crosspole of the middle scarecrow. Minxie stares at it. A second crow sits on the other side. She turns and looks at the dark-haired boy in the yellow T-shirt who mouths words rapidly.
Every 23rd spring for 23 days, it gets to eat.
Minxie turns and looks at the scarecrow.
Eat what? Eat what?
The boy's empty eye sockets drip with blood.
Yes.
Huge wings sprout from the scarecrow. On the bus, Minxie jerks upright into a sitting position, her mouth gaping. Rhonda kneels beside her.
Minx. Are you okay? Look at me. I thought you were gone, girl. You passed out. Look at me. Are you okay? Your eyes went all the way in the back of your head.
That thing is gone, man. I'm willing to bet money on it.
You willing to bet stepping off this bus? Because that's the real bet.
Oh, how long's it been? It's gone. It came, it did its thing, it went away.
It went away, but what the hell was it doing?
What do you think it was doing?
Everyone turns to look at Minxie. Scott stands up.
It was picking people out.
Scott walks along the aisle towards Minxie.
What?
It can smell something in people. In their fear. Something that helps it pick people out.
Pick people out from what? I don't understand how you would know that, sweetie.
A dead boy told me. I think he was trying to warn me. He was trying to warn all of us that this thing has been around for thousands of years and that nothing has been able to kill it.
This is a dream you had?
Well, the boy was dead, so yes, I am assuming that it was a dream, Scotty.
You were waving pom-poms at people this morning. Now all of a sudden you're a psychic hotline?
I don't know! You want to explain it to me because I can't! The boy was trying to warn us that by morning it has to go back into the earth.
Oh, come on.
Into the ground for 23 more years.
And then what? Lives happily ever after? Huh? Why don't you clean out your bong, all right?
Scotty, just listen to her. It is coming back.
This is a dream she had, Rhonda. What, are you gonna believe it?
And it doesn't matter if we're hiding on this bus or if we're hiding under our beds. It'll find us. The ones that it picked out.
Scott turns and looks at DeAndre. Jake glances at Andy. Minxie's eyes well up with tears.
Minx, take it easy, okay?
The boy told me that it can smell in our fear who it wants and what from them it wants to eat.
Tears trickle down Minxie's cheeks. Scott and DeAndre stare at her in disbelief. Andy scrambles to the driver's seat and picks up the handset.
Hello, is anyone out there? Hello, we have a serious problem out here. We need help right away. Can anybody hear me? Is anybody out there, please? We have a... This is...
Jackie drives Taggart's pickup truck along the road. Its headlights shine on the embankment. The light picks out the white station wagon, which has crashed into a tree by the roadside. Steam comes from its bonnet. Taggart's truck slows down and stops. He gets out. Shining a torch in one hand, he walks towards the car. Its roof has been rolled back like a sardine tin. Its windows are smashed, and its hazard lights flash. Jackie also shines his torch from the truck. Max stands in the back. The sticker, "I'm not a complete idiot, some parts are missing," is on the car's rear bumper. The vehicle is empty.
Dad!
Taggart turns and jogs back to the truck.
Hello, can you hear me? 226, are you still there?
I'm so fucking still here.
Okay, just say again what you just told me.
We're not playing games here, right?
Just say it, man.
We are trapped in a broken-down school bus out on East 9. And something is going to kill us if we don't get help out here right away.
Where on 9 East?
In Kinzel County. Are you the cops?
What's trying to kill you? What are you talking about?
Just tell me, are you the fucking cops?
Look, now listen to me. I'm already on the 9. But it's a big highway. So is Kinzel County.
Are there any landmarks near you? Are you close to anything?
Yeah, I'm close to peeing my fucking pants, man. Can you just please tell me that you're on the way?
I can't really judge the strength of your signal, but it doesn't sound close.
What does that mean, man?
It means it's gonna take me a while to get to you.
Look, we kind of have a time-critical situation here.
Roger that.
And please tell me that you're coming with backup, because if you're not the cops, you gotta promise me that you'll call them and you'll tell them that we're stuck out here.
I'll call them. I'll call them right now. But what you've got to do is hang on. Can you do that? Hang on.
Taggart climbs into the truck.
Keep headed east.
Jackie glances at the radio. And then at his father.
Dad?
Just get us out there.
With furrowed brow, Jackie stares at his father.
Do it.
Taggart sits stony-faced, staring into the distance. Jackie starts the truck and drives away, leaving the crashed white car behind them. Andy sits in the bus driver's seat, breathing heavily. The rest of the kids stare at him and smile with relief.
Yes!
Andy stands up, smiling. No one notices the creeper looking inside the rear emergency door. It removes its hat and leaps onto the roof. The creeper smashes its fist through the roof, grabs Andy's hair and pulls him upwards with an evil grimace. Andy clings to an upright pole. DeAndre and Kimball rush along the aisle and grab Andy. Rhonda sprints along the aisle, grabs a javelin and thrusts it through the ceiling. The point goes through the creeper's shoulder and she pulls the javelin back into the bus. The creeper looks at its shoulder, clings to Andy's head and pulls him upwards. Rhonda drives the javelin through the ceiling again and Andy drops to the bus floor. DeAndre, Kimball and Rhonda drag him to the rear of the bus. The shaft of the javelin is caught in the jagged edges of the hole in the ceiling and it wobbles from side to side. The whole bus shudders and shakes and the kids struggle to keep their balance. The creeper dislodges the javelin from the hole. The point has gone right through the creeper's forehead and out the back of its skull in which grows wisps of straggly grey hair. It grasps the top of the spear and pulls, but it is firmly lodged in its head. The creeper stands up straight and with one hand on the front of the javelin and one in the rear, it slides the spear backwards and forwards through its skull, its sharp teeth grimacing with effort. DeAndre creeps towards the front. The javelin falls to the ground with part of the creeper's head impaled on it. The passengers at the rear of the bus watch DeAndre as he goes nervously towards the hole in the ceiling. He raises a finger and then steps directly underneath the hole. He looks up at the stars. The creeper collapses on the roof and looks at DeAndre through the hole. Half of his face is missing.
Half its fucking head's gone.
The creeper staggers to his feet, wobbles, and then flies upwards into the night sky. DeAndre stares into the darkness.
Fuck.
Kimball, Izzy, and Rhonda rush to the front of the bus. They also look through the hole into the darkness. The rest of the kids remain at the rear and look up at the ceiling apprehensively. A shadow flits across the ceiling. The bus rocks violently as its windows explode in a shower of glass and dust, which swirls in the moonlight. Minxie pulls herself up from behind a bus seat. The other kids, sheltering on the floor, gradually stand up. Jake shakes glass fragments from his jacket and head. Shining a torch, he edges towards a gap in the ceiling. Andy and Dante examine a razor-sharp spike of the creeper's wingtip, which curls around the window frame.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
They look up at the ceiling. Staring back down the aisle, Izzy walks to the front of the bus. Using a pole for leverage, he pulls himself upwards and sticks his head through the hole. He looks along the length of the bus roof. With its bat-like wings splayed out, the creeper lies on its back in a lifeless heap. Izzy drops back into the bus, walks down the aisle, and nods to the other kids. Jake shines a torch on the gap. The underside of the creeper pokes through it.
Get that door open. Now's our chance.
Kimball pulls the door lever.
It's dead, right?
Don't know. Don't care.
It won't open!
DeAndre, Scott, and Andy pull at the lever with Kimball. DeAndre pushes the door.
Stop pushing on them! They open in!
Something got screwed up!
Johnny grabs the emergency door lever and hauls violently at it. He bangs his shoulder against the jammed door. Jake watches.
It only opens from the outside. It's an emergency exit, idiot.
Then you fucking open it, man!
Get that door open!
Scott rushes up the aisle and throws Johnny and Jake to the side. He shoulder charges the door, then kicks it viciously.
How the fucking exit that fucking work?
Izzy pulls up the bolt from the floor.
He jammed it.
Scott glowers at Izzy.
We thought it was trying to come in, but this frickin' thing was making sure we couldn't get out.
Scott stares at Izzy in terror. Izzy turns and gapes at DeAndre, who looks at him in disbelief.
Break the fucking doors!
Scott charges up the aisle. The gap in the ceiling widens. DeAndre stares at it. The creeper's wing bursts through the gap and extends to the floor, forming a barrier between the front and rear of the bus. Jake shines a torch through its leathery wing. Its veins snake across its brown skin and black joints. Jake examines the claw-like razor tips and the ragged edges of the membrane. Scott turns and rushes to the front of the bus. The others stare at the wing.
Hey, we can pry this thing open. Give me a pole or a bar or something metal. Something big. Yeah, that'll work.
With a torch, Jake looks at the creeper's wing. He pushes the segments of it upwards. Kimball watches.
Come on, Dee. You need to get to this side. Come on, everybody. Come on.
DeAndre and Dante glance at each other.
This thing's like a fucking shower curtain, man. It's crazy.
He pushes the wing upwards. DeAndre kneels down.
Oh, man, show like you got a pair. And fuck you.
What? Anybody, let's go.
Jake holds up the wing as Minxie crawls through, followed by two more kids. Jake moves away as Dante squats underneath the wing and pushes it up and down.
Shower curtain? This thing's like a fucking piece of toilet paper.
The wing snaps shut, trapping Dante inside. The others retreat to the front and rear of the bus. The wing lifts Dante off the floor. His feet kick back and forth desperately. Izzy and DeAndre rush along the aisle, grab the wing and pull downwards. The outline of Dante's face appears through the wing's membrane. The bus shudders and shakes as Dante is lifted through the gap. The wing opens and disappears. Izzy and DeAndre stare in disbelief at the headless body of Dante as it writhes and wriggles and punches the air. Blood is splattered on its neck and chest. The others back away from it. The body collapses and lies on its back in between two bus seats. Jake, his mouth opening and closing in shock, looks at the gap in the ceiling. DeAndre edges towards Dante's lifeless body. Minxie leans against a window frame. Watching the gap carefully, DeAndre kneels down, pulls the flare gun and flare cartridges from the pocket of Dante's jeans and stands up. Rhonda grabs Minxie.
What's it doing, Minx? What's it doing, Minx? What's it doing up there?
Rhonda pushes to the front, grabs hold of the upright pole and pulls herself up. Her head pops through the hole. The creeper stands on the roof, its clawed hands wriggling and twisting. It pulls its hands on either side of its neck and pushes its mangled head upwards. Rhonda watches in terror as the creeper rips its head away from its neck with membranous claws and tendrils writhing and squirming on its shoulders. It throws its head towards Rhonda, who jumps back into the bus. The head bounces on the bonnet. The creeper puffs out its torso. The claw-like membrane on its shoulders covers the hole in its neck. A spherical object worms and slithers its way up inside the creature's stomach and ribcage. The kids stare apprehensively at the gap. Slowly, the oily head of Dante pushes up through the creeper's slimy neck. Its eyes are closed, and the top of its high forehead is encrusted with smooth black ridges. The creeper inhales and opens its eyes wide. With moonlight shining on its ponytail and the whites of its eyes gleaming in the dark, it turns its head and smiles grimly. Chelsea watches it fly into the air. The kids rush to the windows and look out. Scott prises open the front door with an iron bar. He stares outside. He drops a bar as he steps back into the aisle.
It's time to go.
He walks down the aisle towards the others.
What are you talking about, man? Help is coming.
The nine is big. Remember? What if he's an hour away?
What if he's going the wrong direction? There are fucking cops on the way, man.
And you want the rest of us to sit underneath that big hole in the roof and hope that thing doesn't come crashing in here?
What do you mean, the rest of us?
I mean, it's time to stop being polite. There are two classes of people on this bus now. It had its pick of 20 of us back there, and it picked who? Dante was one. Another one was you, Jake.
Oh, God damn it, Scott!
And we all saw him go for you, Bucky.
What the hell is that supposed to mean, huh? Two classes of people? What, the will be eaten and the won't be eaten? Fuck you, Scotty.
Minxie says this thing gets anybody it picks out no matter what.
Don't put me in this.
She also said that after tonight, it goes away and for a long time, Scott.
You tell us, Minxie. Are we safe if we can hide out till morning? Or is this thing gonna come after these guys with everything it's got? Because it only has till morning.
Tears well up in Minxie's eyes. She stares at Scott.
Huh? We're screwed, right? Scotty,
you're not talking about throwing people off this bus.
It's funny you should say that, Dee, because the only other one we know it picked out for sure was you.
Whoa, hold on a second.
We all saw the way it sniffed you out back there. You were the only one that gave tongue action, man, and we all saw it.
Scotty! I don't understand what you're trying to do.
I'm trying to stay alive.
You're trying to split us up!
We have just dropped a notch on the fucking food chain, man! This is about living or dying now, okay? And if this boss is the only thing keeping that fucker away from us, how safe are we, you guys? With everybody it's hungry for sitting inside it. I want to see hands. I want to see hands. Because as shitty a deal as it is, I gotta say, I'd like you, Bucky, and Jake off this boss, man.
You listen to me, piece of shit! He looked at you too, bro. I saw him and you did too. He looked right at you and smiled. And when he made Jake take the lights off it, he could have looked at you twice and licked his fucking lips.
We don't know that.
So you keep your little blacklist. Because when he takes you out, and I hope he does, I'm gonna be the one getting as far away from your sorry ass as I can.
DeAndre pushes Scott away.
Time to go is right. I'm gonna go find that farm.
Then I'm going with you.
You know I'm coming.
You wanna keep this bus? Then you sit in it. Right under that big hole. See how long you last.
DeAndre turns and walks to the front.
Look, I'm sorry, D. You are so right about that.
Kimball walks to the front and the other kids follow him.
Come on, guys. Come on, help. It's on the way. Why are we splitting up?
He said he was coming. We're gonna leave and he's gonna pull up. Help.
That bus is a death trap, Buck. Use your head.
You're really gonna let them go alone?
What, do you want to go with them?
We don't know who it picked out. Jesus Christ, it looked at everyone.
Rhonda turns away from Scott. He grabs her arm.
Scotty, let go of me.
Let go of you?
Let go of me.
She leaves the bus. Scott looks at the ripped metal gash. Turns. And quickly goes down the steps onto the road. He runs after Rhonda. Johnny sits in the driver's seat and shuts the door. High above them, a wing beats.
All you care about is yourself.
Bro!
You want to know, Scotty, what I found out today? When people get really scared, it's just like when they get drunk. The real person comes to the surface. We could have protected Dee and Jake and all of us! We stuck together! You know, like in a team.
Hey! Hey!
Izzy points to the sky. The hovering creeper is silhouetted against the moon. The kids run back to the bus. Scott slaps his hand against the locked door. Johnny sits in the driver's seat and looks upwards.
Johnny, you cocksucker, you! I will fucking fry you, man! You open these goddamn doors! You open them right now!
Johnny, open the fucking doors, man!
Andy kneels in the bonnet. The others bang on the bus.
This is my worst deal, man!
Izzy steps back and looks upwards. The creeper flaps its wings and dives towards the bus. The kids turn round and rush into the field. Johnny remains in the bus. Scott and DeAndre sprint ahead of the rest, who look over their shoulders in terror, their fleeing shadows black on the moonlit ground. The creeper holds a star weapon in its hand. It flicks its wrist, and the projectile spins through the air. It lodges in Jake's head. He hits the ground, lifeless. The creeper flies low and closes in on DeAndre, who looks over his shoulder as he sprints.
Run! He's right behind you, Dee! Run!
The creeper clutches at and misses DeAndre as he trips on a stone and falls.
Get off! Let go!
Scott waves to the others to follow him. He heads for a tree. The creeper raises its arm and throws a knife which cuts through the air and impales Scott's forearm on the tree trunk. He looks at the knife. Above the field, The creeper looks at Scott, flaps its wings and glides over the heads of the running pack. Izzy tries to dislodge the knife.
Stop moving! Stop!
You're hurting him! You're hurting him!
I can't help it!
Rhonda reaches Scott. DeAndre stands, sprints to the tree and grabs a knife.
Stop moving!
It's in there like it's welded!
You're hurting him!
I can't help it!
Scott spots the creeper circling the tree. DeAndre frees the knife. The creeper plucks Scott from the other's grasp and soars into the air. Distraught, Rhonda stands in the middle of the field staring into the sky. Izzy puts his arms around her. DeAndre puts his hand to his head. Taggart's truck stops on the road. The dog, sitting in the back, stares up at the sky. Taggart climbs out.
What is it, boy? What is it?
Minxie runs across the road. Jackie points a spotlight at her as she climbs the embankment and slides back down.
Papa!
Taggart steps forward and watches Minxie, who shields her eyes from the headlamp glare with her arm.
No! No!
Taggart jumps on the footboard and the truck moves forward. Minxie staggers towards them. Her face is dirty and she screws up her eyes as the headlamps dazzle her. The truck stops. Taggart steps down and goes towards her.
Where did you come from?
She stares at him.
From that bus? How far up ahead?
Huh? He climbs on the back of the truck.
Come on, answer me!
It doesn't matter! There's no one on the bus and you can't kill it!
He places a harness over his shoulders.
Jackie! Get the dog inside!
He secures the clips.
Look, you can't stop it!
You get in the cabin with Jack Jr. You stay down till this is over.
This will never be over! It doesn't matter what you do. It'll be back. 23 years from now. 23 years from then.
He pulls back at her pollen cover.
Get us to that bus.
The wrecked bus sits on the road. Inside, the seats are empty. It rocks slightly from side to side.
Johnny. Johnny.
Chelsea's hands appear over the top of the front seat, followed by her terrified face. Johnny's face appears from behind another seat. Andy drops through the roof.
Johnny! Bucky! What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? You let her in, huh, Johnny?
Andy leans against the pole.
Have you seen anybody else?
They step back from him.
What are you doing?
You, Bucky.
Hey, there's no farm out there, man. I must have run 10 miles all over this fucking valley.
Bucky, come on. Just please, go away.
Don't make me go back out there again, man. It's fucking freaky out there, man. Please.
Andy looks up. The creeper grabs Andy's head through the ceiling. Blood trickles down his face and glasses. Johnny and Chelsea retreat to the rear of the bus. The creeper lets go of Andy. and in a crouching position, looks up the road. Its ragged black clothes and wispy hair flutter gently in the breeze. It slowly stands up. The headlights from Taggart's car illuminate it. The creeper extends its enormous wings to their full span. The edges of the leathery membrane have small tears and rips in them. Behind the bus, further up the road, Jackie and Minxie sit open-mouthed in the truck. The dog barks silently. On the back of the truck, Taggart has both hands on a huge harpoon gun. He stares, stony-faced, at the creeper. The creeper, its black face shining and cold eyes glinting, grimaces. The harpoon's barrel has Post Puncher 500 written on it. The tip of the harpoon is the creeper's dagger. It lowers its head as Taggart lowers his and takes aim. He squeezes the trigger. Taggart laughs. The wire attached to the harpoon unwinds. The wire snaps tight as it reaches the end of the reel with the harpoon speared through the creeper's chest. Smoke fizzes off the post puncher. The creeper holds the harpoon in both hands and flies backwards. With each thrust of its wings, it pulls the truck towards the bus. The back end of the truck is lifted off the road. Jackie slams his feet on the brakes and goes into reverse. The creeper thrusts upwards and the truck careers from side to side. Chelsea, Andy and Johnny watch in horror as the truck edges towards them.
Get her on the bus!
The truck smashes into the back of the bus. The creeper flaps vigorously and lifts the rear of the truck.
Jackie! Get us around this bus now!
Jackie spots his father in the wing mirror and turns the steering wheel sharply. The buckling bonnet scrapes along the rear of the bus. Its rear emergency door shears off its hinges. Sparks fly as the truck is dragged round the side of the bus. Taggart forces a reel handle, but it does not move. The creeper swerves violently in the air and pulls the post puncher from side to side. With grim determination, Taggart pushes the handle down. It turns rapidly. He looks upwards, and the creeper flies freely. He steps back from the post puncher and unclips the harness.
Jackie, get out! Get out of there now!
Minxie jumps out of the truck. Jackie's door is jammed against the bus. The harpoon smashes through the windscreen. Minxie runs behind a tree.
Jackie!
Taggart climbs on the back of the truck.
You all right? Jackie, answer me! Jackie, answer me! Are you okay?
I think so.
Jackie lies across the front seats. The harpoon pins his jacket to the backrest. He grabs the spear with both hands and pulls. Minxie and Taggart spot the creeper circling above.
Jackie, get us away from the bus!
Jackie hauls at the harpoon.
Get away! Let's go! Get us away from the bus! Scotty
and
Jackie, go on! Get us away!
Jackie wriggles out of his jacket and moves the car a few feet along the road. Taggart unclips a spool and throws it away.
Dad?
Taggart loads another spool.
Dad!
Yeah!
He loads a spiral-pointed harpoon. Minxie watches the creeper as it turns in the air and swoops low. Taggart grabs the handles of the gun as the creeper, with its wings tucked into its sides, dives towards him. Terrified, Minxie grabs the tree. The creature swoops behind the bus. Taggart points a gun through the bus windows.
All you kids, get down!
The kids duck under the seats. Taggart takes aim. The harpoon flies through the bus and spears the creeper, knocking it across a field with a wire attached to it. It lies motionless behind a hillock. Smoke hisses out of the post puncher. The loose wire goes through one side bus window, over the seats, and out the opposite window. Andy peers out. Minxie steps away from the tree. The reel moves slightly. Taggart watches it turn again. Johnny looks out the bus window. The line of the wire extends across the grass in the field. A bloodstained Jackie watches as the reel spins. The creeper shoots into the air. Minxie retreats behind the tree. Taggart stares in disbelief as the reel unwinds and locks. The wire tightens underneath the bus roof, which tilts towards the truck.
Jackie! Jackie! You gotta get us away from the bus now!
The wire rips through the roof. Jackie struggles with the gears.
Come on!
The truck moves forward as the bus keels over onto its side. It clips the rear of the truck and sends the post puncher spinning. The wire slices through the roof of the bus, and the creeper flies upwards, pulling the wire behind it. Taggart ducks underneath the revolving barrel. Taggart kicks at a spring.
Dad, get out of there!
The spool is jammed in the cradle!
Dad, just get out!
The cradle's rolled to the truck's frame!
Get out, Dad!
He'll rip my gun right out of the truck!
Dad, just get the fuck out of there!
The wire rips off the spool and Taggart jumps. The truck leaps into the air and somersaults down the road. Its wheels shear off their axles and the wire whips and snaps across the tarmac. The truck lands on its side. Open-mouthed and crouching, Minxie hugs the tree. She stands up and steps forward. Jackie runs down the embankment to his father, who lies on the road. The bus on its side. Andy, Chelsea and Johnny look out the front windscreen. Jackie kneels by his father in a pool of moonlight.
Dad? Dad!
Rhonda and DeAndre sit on the ground back to back. He holds a flare gun in one hand. Izzy runs towards him through the grass.
You're not going to believe this. But I think I found a way out of here.
They glower at him, and Rhonda shakes her head.
What?
Minxie said it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what Minxie said. Right?
They turn their heads away from him.
The others might have gotten away. We don't know that. Kimball, too. Hey, nobody gets to decide we die. No dream, nobody. Nobody gets to decide that that is bullshit.
They stare at him.
I hope so. Come on. I want to go show you a big ugly bug.
They sit still on the ground as he strides away from them.
That's the truck that passed us this morning. Remember with the big bug on top of it?
You think we can just drive away in it?
No, but I think I know how to hotwire a truck. That's how I got my bar fight. I was trying to steal somebody's truck. Gay bar?
Jesus Christ.
The pickup truck with a cockroach on its gashed roof sits underneath a tree, its side window smashed.
Wherever it was going, I don't think he made it.
DeAndre, Rhonda, and Izzy pace slowly around the truck. Izzy peers into it.
Oh my God, the keys are in it! Come on, man, the keys are in it!
Rhonda and Izzy run to the driver's door. A shadow flits across them.
It's not birds.
DeAndre snaps the door handle off. He jumps into the back.
Go! Go! Go, go, go! Come on! Go! Go, go!
Izzy, with Rhonda beside him, bangs the car into the tree. He reverses, then drives onto the road. DeAndre crouches in the back against the driver's cabin.
I'm a sitting duck back here, Izzy! Step on it!
I've got it floored!
Go! Come on! Go! Go fast! We're making so fast!
The creeper speeds towards the rear of the truck.
Go! Go! Go, man! Go! 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 Go!
The Andre stands up and points the flare gun at the creeper, which beats its wings and surges towards him. He fires a flare into the creeper's face.
Daisy! Throw something!
The creature regains its balance and swoops towards him.
Daisy! Get down!
The truck swerves off the road.
Come on! Come on!
He pushes her out.
Mason! Come on! Mason! Stay down! Stay down!
Izzy slams on the brakes and the creeper inches away from DeAndre's face, smashes through the back and front windscreens. The truck flips over and DeAndre is catapulted through the air. The vehicle somersaults three times and lands on its roof. Smoke billows round the twisted wreckage as Izzy slowly hauls himself out of the rear window of the driver's cabin and crawls on his belly away from the truck. In the long brush surrounding the truck, DeAndre lies face down in the grass. He slowly lifts his bleeding head. He spits blood, levers himself up with one elbow, and peels back his ripped blue jeans. His shin is bloody and mangled. He turns, and grimacing with pain, crawls through the brush. On the ground in front of him are the creeper's large severed wings with their membranous segments pulsating, quivering, and twitching. DeAndre raises his head and looks around. The truck explodes in a fireball. The blaze illuminates the back of the creeper's head as it sits looking over the top of the grass at the billowing smoke and flames. With the stump of a wing on its shoulder, it jerks its head up and down in pain. DeAndre watches as it turns its face away from the flames. Staring in terror at the creature, DeAndre crawls backwards slowly. The creeper whips its head round in the direction of DeAndre, who dives to the ground and lies on his back. It raises its head and sniffs as its nostrils expand and contract. DeAndre squirms backwards along the ground. He rolls onto his stomach and crawls away from the creeper. It tries to jump but collapses. DeAndre stops crawling and looks over his shoulder. He picks up the flare gun from the grass and empties the barrel. The creeper balances on its right leg. Its right arm and left leg are missing. It moves forward and keels over. DeAndre reloads a gun and peers through the grass towards the burning truck. The creeper leaps forward through the air, its right leg dangling, and dives headlong into the brush. DeAndre stares over the top of the grass. The creeper leaps frog-like towards DeAndre. He turns and crawls desperately on his stomach away from the creature, which hurtles its mutilated body ever closer to him. The creeper dives behind a clump of grass. DeAndre turns and, lying on his back, points the gun towards the clump. He fires the gun, but the creeper pins him to the ground. He grabs it around the neck, but it forces its head downwards until its face is only inches from DeAndre's mouth. The creeper bares its teeth, but DeAndre pushes its head upwards and tightens his hands around its throat. Its head turns to one side. The creeper's eyes bulge as clawed red membranous segments on its neck fan out behind its head. Open-mouthed and with teeth flashing, it forces its head downwards again. The creature looks up. A harpoon strikes the creeper in the middle of the forehead and knocks it flat on its back. DeAndre sits bolt upright and looks behind him. Taggart stands on the back of his bashed truck, behind the sights of his post-puncher. The creeper's arm twitches. Jackie opens the driver's door. With Andy, Chelsea and Johnny behind him, Taggart grabs another harpoon, jumps off the truck and scurries across to the creature as it twists and turns the spear lodged in its head. Taggart stands over the mangled beast, which looks at him and removes its hand from the shaft. Jackie walks towards it. The truck's passenger door falls off. Taggart thrusts the harpoon into the creeper's chest. The creeper grimaces in pain. Taggart withdraws the harpoon. The creeper grabs the harpoon in its forehead. Taggart repeatedly stabs at its torso. Kneeling, Minxie holds DeAndre in her arms. Jackie stares open-mouthed at his father. Chelsea, Andy and Johnny watch Taggart's manic assault. Black blood spurts from the harpoon wound in the creeper's head. Its mouth opens and closes. The creeper stares upwards, eyes bulging and mouth wide open. Taggart lets go of the harpoon. The creature slowly closes its mouth and eyes. Taggart inhales deeply. The creeper's intense eyes flick open. Taggart stares in disbelief. The clawed segments at the back of the head creep around the side of its cheeks. Its staring eyes are concealed as a shield of interlocking claws gradually cover the whole of its face. Taggart looks at the harpoon in the creature's forehead, enclosed by its facial claws. Minxie and DeAndre stare at him.
It isn't dead.
Taggart turns and glowers at her.
His time ran out.
Taggart looks at the creeper and places his boot on its face. He pulls the harpoon out of its forehead. Jackie grimaces as Taggart plunges his spear into the creeper's body.
Looks dead to me.
He walks away from the body, past Jackie, whose face is splattered with blood, towards the truck. Chelsea, Johnny and Andy shuffle over to Minxie and DeAndre. Taggart leans against the back of his truck and lowers his head in exhaustion. With the fire blazing behind them, Andy wearing his mangled glasses, Chelsea, Johnny and Jackie stare at the ground, shaking. A red pickup truck speeds along the road leading to Taggart's farm, a trail of dust in its wake. The sun shines brightly, and blue skies top the green hills in the distance. The truck pulls up in the barnyard, and a grim-faced man in his 40s appears from the shadows of a tree, wearing a checked shirt and white vest and wiping his hands with a cloth. He has graying stubble in his face. Three teenagers emerge from the truck, a dark-haired boy with a yellow T-shirt, a bare-chested, fair-haired boy, and a blonde girl.
Hey, Taggart.
That's right.
Can we see it?
Can you read?
He turns to a wooden sign with faded red and black letters. Bat out of hell. One look, $5.
Is this something real? I heard it was a bunch of bullshit.
Still $5.
The fair-haired boy feels in his pockets.
Where'd it come from?
My dad killed it.
Yeah, but where'd it come from?
It's $5 from you, too.
The boy in the T-shirt stares at him cynically.
How'd he kill it?
Ask him.
The girl glances at the boys, and all three walk past Jackie and enter the barn nervously. Cobwebs hang from wooden beams. The teenagers look up at the gable end of the barn. The creeper is pinned high on the wall. Above it is a wooden sign with red letters, Bat Out of Hell. A crow flies into the barn, perches on the creeper and pecks at the cobwebs.
Come on, man. We gotta go get our money back. What the hell is it? What do you think it is?
The decayed creeper's wings are splayed out, its arms are tied with rope, and its clawed feet dangle in midair. The fair-haired boy extends his arm.
We don't touch it.
The kids turn around and stare at the silhouetted figure of old Taggart as he sits with the sun behind him at the barn door. A cat is perched on the cobwebbed post-puncher beside him.
What's the story in this thing?
Whatever you've heard, probably.
You expect us to think that that thing's real?
Don't really care.
How'd you kill it?
He is wrinkled with gray hair.
Stabbed it right through the heart. With a big, homemade harpoon.
He puts his hand on the post-puncher plinth. A harpoon is loaded into its barrel.
When?
About 23 years ago.
He holds the spiral-tipped harpoon in his hands.
You waiting for something?
He grips the harpoon shaft tighter and nods.
About 3 more days.
His cold, grey eyes look up at the creeper.
Give or take a day or two.
The three teenagers turn and gape at the emaciated creature with its long, thin legs and exposed rib cage as it hangs high on the barn wall. A crow lands on one of his extended arms, pecks at the leathery wing, and flies away. The dusty creeper's head points downwards, its face cocooned by interlocking claws. This audio description was commissioned by Pathé Pictures, and the script was written by Patrick O'Kane, narrated by Andrew Byatt, and produced by Carol McGregor for IADA Limited. Recorded at STV Glasgow, July 2003. Written and directed by Victor Salva. Produced by Tom Luce. Executive producers, Francis Ford Coppola, Bobby Rock, Kirk D'Amico, Lucas Foster. Director of Photography, Don E. Fauntleroy, ASC. Production designer, Peter Jameson. Edited by Ed Marks. Costume designer, Jana Stern. Music composed and conducted by Bennett Salve. Based on characters created by Victor Salva. Cast: Taggart, Ray Wise. The Creeper, Jonathan Breck. DeAndre Double Davis, Garikai Mutambirwa. Scott Braddock, Eric Neninger. Minxie Hayes, Nikki Acox. Izzy Bowen, Travis Schiffner. Chelsea Farmer, Lena Cardwell. Andy Bucky Buck, Billy Aaron Brown. Rhonda Truitt, Mary Delfino. Bus driver Betty, Deanne Delano. Coach Charlie Hanna, Tom Gossam Jr. Coach Dwayne Barnes, Tom Tarantini. Dante Belasco, Al Santos. Jake Spencer, Josh Hammond. Kimball Big K Ward, Cassan Butcher. Johnny Young, Drew Tyler Bell. Jack Taggart Jr., Luke Edwards. Billy Taggart, Sean Fleming. Daddy Jenner, Justin Long. Man in Station Wagon, Bob Pappenbrook. Older Jack Jr., John Powell. Teenage Boys, Marshall Cook and Joe Regan. Teenage Girl, Stephanie Denise Griffin. A Victor Salva film. Jeepers Creepers 2. No animal was harmed in the making of this film.